Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. Amen. We're in a very short sermon series right now. It began last week and ends next Sunday. So three Sundays, nice and short. And it's on Thanksgiving or giving thanks, so not the holiday per se, but on this disposition of gratitude that is surely a mark of those who have been saved by God's grace. This disposition of gratitude that should, if that grace is working in our lives, be something manifest in the way that we live, and in the way that we interact with one another, and in the way that we serve our community and the world. So this is our theme, giving thanks. And I mentioned last week that in Greek, this is Eucharistia. So the very same thing that we do when we gather together each Sunday. We gather together to give thanks at the table of the Lord. This is central to who we are. And so I really try not to do this. You know, Martin Luther said that we hear two words from God, law and gospel, and I think we hear way too much law in our society, in our culture, in our own spiritual strivings. We apply law to ourselves, and we never hear enough gospel about how God's grace is sufficient for us. And so I try and focus on gospel, especially in my preaching. But I'm going to give you a little bit of law right now. I'm going to tell you something to do. This is what I try not to do. But I'm actually going to give you a little bit of work to do. And I'm going to give you a very short amount of time to do it. I want you to start thinking and hold in your mind as we continue through the liturgy. Don't necessarily do this while I'm preaching. I want you to listen to me. But after I'm done preaching, as we continue into the liturgy, start thinking about something that you give thanks for in relationship to this church community, to this church family, this parish family. Something about Fort Church for which you give thanks. That was my whole sermon last week, was how I give thanks for you. Now I'd like to ask you to do the same. And not just that, but when it comes time for the announcements at the end of the liturgy, I'm going to ask you, you don't have to do anything, but I'm going to ask you if you want to say what you give thanks for. And it doesn't have to be a long spiel, it can be one word, but I'm going to ask you to stand up and say what you give thanks for. Or stay seated and say what you give thanks for. I don't care. Just say what you give thanks for. And if you feel uncomfortable doing that, you can just whisper it or say it to yourself. Though I really hope some of you will say it out loud, because I think we need to hear from each other that for which we give thanks in this community. So that's my law, and now I'll turn to gospel. And I'll take as my text what you might think is a rather unlikely text for a sermon on giving thanks, or within the theme of giving thanks. This is from the gospel lesson that we just heard, which doesn't seem like a very hopeful or pleasant text if you read through it. And there's all sorts of things about wars and rumors of wars. And then Jesus says this, but before all this occurs, they will arrest you, not something you would typically give thanks for, and persecute you, again, not something you would typically give thanks for. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons. A synagogue just means assemblies there. Synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name, this will give you an opportunity to testify. This will give you an opportunity to testify. Now that's where we should give thanks, for opportunities to testify. But then he says something strange. He says, all right, so you're going to get arrested. You're going to get persecuted. And they're going to bring you before whole assemblies and before kings and governors because of your faith in me, because you are a Christian. This may happen to you. But give thanks because this gives you an opportunity to testify. Now, you might be expecting Jesus to say, so here's what I want you to do. Go to the library, get all the book commentaries on scripture and read through them and come up with a good defense for yourself. I mean, there's a lawyer or two in this congregation. Don't you do a little preparation before a jury trial before you get up and have to speak in front of a court? So we might expect Jesus to say, so you're going to have this opportunity to testify. Do your prep. Do your homework. That's not what he says, though. He says, this will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense. Make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance. For I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. Now, does this mean that you're going to get away scot-free? You'll be able to convince everybody that you testify to? Well, no, because in the next line we hear about how some of you will be put to death. So, they may not be able to withstand or contradict you, but that doesn't mean you get out of this alive. But what I really want to focus on is how we are to give thanks for opportunities to testify, and how we are to give thanks that Christ himself will provide the words when we do so. And I want to explore what this means. Now, I don't know about you, but there are certainly some Christians who are just racked with anxiety about trying to figure out God's will for them in their lives. And I won't ask, but this may speak to you. It may not. And what they do is, they will pray about this, which is good and right. What is your will for my life, Lord? They will pray about this, but then they'll try and hear some inner voice that tells them this is what's good and right. Right? They'll say, "I'm trying to figure out what does God want me to do in this situation?" And they'll go deep inside of themselves and they'll listen for that inner voice. That they'll say, that's the Holy Spirit. Have any of you ever done this? No? None of you have? All right, some of you have. What I want to suggest to you is that that inner voice is not the Holy Spirit. That inner voice is your voice. And that's okay, because you are good and wise people. And sometimes it's good to listen to your own inner voice. But that's not how God communicates with you. Through a gut feeling, through a nudge here and there, through following your inner voice. If Jiminy Cricket appears before you and starts singing a song, this is not the Holy Spirit. And you notice that none of like the couple of young folks in here have any idea what that reference is. That's not the Holy Spirit, because Jesus here tells us how we discern the Word of God, how we get the words that we need to guide our lives and to testify. He gives us these words. He gives us the words, The Holy Spirit gives us the words. Now, here's where I want to connect it to our collect of the day, which is also on your insert, right? This is one of my favorite collects, and it goes back to Thomas Cranmer, the architect of the original prayer book himself. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given to us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. We give thanks because we have been given the words of everlasting life. And they're actually written down and bound together in a book for us, which makes it really easy. We just have to pick it up and read, learn, mark, and inwardly digest those words. And in this way, Christ gives us the language of our faith. In this way, in hearing these words spoken over and over again, as we gather for Thanksgiving, for giving thanks, for Eucharistia, for Eucharist, we are given the words of everlasting life. We are given the words to testify to the world so that they might know the love of God for all of us, for all of creation, for everything God has made. Made flesh in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the words of Scripture, when they get in us and form us and transform us, that give us the very language of thanksgiving. The holiday that we celebrate as a secular society, no matter what our religious leanings are, that we're getting ready to celebrate in a little over a week, about a week and a half. Thanksgiving, it gets its name from the Eucharist. It gets its name from Scripture. That's why they called it that. Because the people who were going to gather together for that meal were a people formed by Scripture, a people transformed by the words Christ had given them, a people who knew that the heart of their faith was giving thanks. Now, we don't need to get into all the historical details of how poorly they lived that out in relationship to their neighbors and such. But we know that they chose that language because they were a people formed by Scripture. They had been given the words. Over in the adult Sunday school, we've been working our way through the different religious traditions. We've talked about Hinduism. We've talked about Jainism. We're now talking about Buddhism. And one of the things that I've tried to do as we've been talking about these different religious traditions is actually use the words of those traditions rather than using English translations of those words. So, for example, if we're talking about the deities of Hinduism, I refer to them as devas and not as gods, because that language of gods and goddesses, that's English, and that reflects all sorts of assumptions that come with our language about religious traditions. And if you really want to understand where someone else is coming from, you have to learn their language so that you can give up your assumptions and hear what they actually have to say. What I want to suggest to you is that just like we all had to take English from the time we started elementary school until we graduated, and then if we went off to college, we probably took more English, even though it's our language, so that we could know it more deeply and speak it better. This is equally true of the language of Christianity. And it's better to understand these religious traditions as languages than as something called religions. Because languages shape the way we think and the way we interact and the way we see the world. And we have been given a beautiful language, an amazing language that will orient our lives towards thanksgiving if we just learn it, read, mark, and inwardly digest this language so that it comes to form us and transform us into a people who give thanks to the God who has given them the words of everlasting life, so that we can even face down death according to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in a sure and certain hope of everlasting life because we have been given those words. And so this morning, I give thanks for Scripture, for the words of everlasting life given in and through the Word of God made flesh for us, and for a community that is grounded in Scripture. Amen.